Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And we are back with all new original programming tonight. And speaking of all new original programming, I have a true original tonight as my guest, someone who's become a very good friend of mine in the last couple of years. He is an urban explorer, a pornologist, and he's also a fantastic chef as well as a great movie director, a producer. I'd like to welcome the one, the only, Michele Cupuzzi to the show tonight.
Thank you, Steve. This presentation is fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And good evening to you, and thank you for inviting me to your show. And, of course, good evening to the people who are listening now, live or later, whenever they get this chat. It will be fun later on the web. Thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and thank you for being here tonight, and also thank you for adopting New York City as your home.
Well, thank you. Yes, it actually has been my home practically since April 1978, April 14th, and then when I arrived first time in New York, and I fell in love with New York immediately, and basically has been my main home all these 31 years. I can't believe it, how the time goes so fast.
Yes, and you have a great website that I think so.
Thank you. Well, yes, it's okay. It's good. It's good. I should be learning more technology and freshen up myself, and my web mistress, who is in Rome, she's a fantastic lady. Her name is Maya. She always said, I have to teach you, but I sort of refuse to learn. But anyhow, that's part of the bad part of our personality. But thank you for mentioning it. MicheleCapozzi.org, and of course, org stands for orgasm, because if you do org/ASM, you'll find it immediately. The idea was of my web mistress. I definitely give her the credit to do this.
And I'm reading here on your site the semi-official biography of Michele Cupuzzi. No one can actually write an accurate biography of someone quite like Michele.
Thank you. Another good friend like you wrote that. So I hope that all the things that you say and the things the friends write about me are at least 10% true. Even if it's only 10% true, it's definitely, I can't complain about my life. I had a great life. And even if I hope my voice sounds very young, actually I am 62 and some months. So, but I have no complaint and very few regrets.
I like what it says, Michele is the kind of guy you wish you'd met the day you arrived. It would have saved you a lot of trouble.
Yes, that's a line that was the beginning of a great article that was published in November 1984 on a, at that time, very sleek and very downtown magazine called Details, and it was written by an English writer, Alan Platt, another good friend, and he wrote about my day tour of New York. He skipped the porno part, they skipped all the juicy clubs that were around at that time. We're talking about 84, so still we had something to chew on. But instead, he focused on my day tour of the ethnic New York. It was a wonderful article. And that line is practically the beginning of the article. Thank you for quoting it.
Well, you have a film that you created, which I think I must have seen like 10, 15 times already, because it's such a... It's such a fun film to watch.
Yeah, I hope you still want to see it. It would be a good sign, at least.
Yeah, we could say, Steve has seen this film 10 times, 15 times, and it's fresh every time.
That means that you like it, yes.
It is. It's
say first the real title, then say the title that you like.
Okay, the official title for now is Pornology New York.
Good. Excellent.
Of course, the title that I like, that I prefer, is one of the original titles when it was first discussed. It was called Pasta Porno.
Yes. Well, Pasta al Porno is in a, anyhow the title of a segment of the movie.
Yes.
So it's there, and the Pasta al Porno is actually a pasta al forno. Forno in Italian means oven. And but during the shooting of the movie, I was cooking this pasta, which the main ingredient is bechamel, a French sauce that I am very good at, and that our friend Steve, our host here, called bianco pasta, I mean the salsa bianca, but really is a bechamel sauce.
Yes.
So, but he loved so much this title, Pasta al Porno, that he became sort of a, an aficionado in sending me all these emails about food, especially Italian food. The last one that Steve sent me was, how can you cook the pasta correctly? And all these questions. And I read it just, but it's true. I mean, first of all, I like a lot of water. First of all, the salt should be put at the beginning. The salt should be put when the water boils.
Mm-hmm.
And the pasta al dente is a must, and but that's is very difficult. Everybody has his own dente, I suppose.
Yes.
And talking about the pasta fredda, I never really put the water on. The pasta is alive, and I like it die slowly or with the sauce immediately. So even if I do a pasta that I'm planning to eat cold, I never washed up in the on the water.
Fantastic.
So this, I gave a few answers about the last email that he sent me. And of course, sex and food go together, so I don't think that we are disappointing our listener now.
No, not at all. Well, you're certainly not disappointing me, which is...
Okay, that's what it counts. One day I will cook the bechamel and the pasta al porno, and I'll give you the little secrets.
Yes. And it's a really... It's just... That segment... Well, the whole film has to be seen... But that particular segment, including the sex that happens during that scene, but also you cooking the pasta bechamel and going, and when you tasted the cheese, you just saw the warmth of it and the way you describe it in the pasta and everything. It's like it's just like it's an amazing scene.
Very hungry. Well, actually, I like to tell you a little story that I don't know if I told you already. Like a couple of years ago, a friend of mine gave me his fantastic loft in downtown near Tribeca to have a screening. And so the screening was done around, probably you were there, I guess. The one where they cooked the pasta?
Yes.
Okay, so you were there. Fuck, that's, I forgot that you've seen 16 times. But the great part was that I prepared the pasta before because you had to do the bechamel and cook the pasta before. Then the secret is to have a very, very hot oven. So what I did when the people start coming, when the screening started, I put the pasta in the oven. So when the scene of the pasta is on, the people could start smelling the pasta burning in the oven. And I think it was great. It was like cinema with odors, right? It was good. I mean, I think the people liked it. And of course, right? Yeah, it was great. And, of course, after the screening, the people ate pasta al porno, who has been eaten in the film by the people who were that day at the infamous and famous Fuck Factory in New York.
I think that's really the best way to watch this film is while you're having some pasta bianco.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's promise to our listener that I will do a screening very soon. Again, because probably they may be curious to see the movie, so I anticipate your questions, and I just say that the DVD is not ready yet. It will be. And one of the main reasons that it's not ready yet, because I have a lot of fun in having screening, whatever, in private homes, loft, whatever, or even proper theater like I did many times. So I had the list 33. 3 and 3 screening around the world, and I always be there, and I always do this a debate after that, and so I sort of prevent it for the people to look at it on the DVD until and as long as I have fun doing this private screening. So it's a big promise Before the end of the year, I will have another screen in New York, and we'll organize it somewhere sometime.
Okay? Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, you could always have fun with a DVD premiere party too.
Very nicely put, my friend. Great, congratulations. Thank you for the kick in the ass.
I'll keep doing that because I want to have this DVD in my collection, in my archive.
Thank you. You're another good compliment that you gave me. Yes, I will. One other reason, obviously, is very simple, that I would love to have a lot of extra beside the movie, because just to tell a couple of things about the technicalities of the movie, I shot 70 hours of material, and the version that now is available is 85 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how much good stuff has been left
on the
editor floor. So I plan one day to close myself with my editor, who is a wonderful lady, and watch it once again, all the material, and pick up little pearls and put it in the DVD. It would be fun. It would be something not new, but something interesting.
Yeah, well, let me know when that's going to happen, because I'll be happy to...
You will know even before, because you have been pushing me, and I don't want to disappoint
you. No, you could never do that. It's but tell me, what is the origins of pornology in New York City, and what is pornology? What is a pornologist?
Okay, very good. Do we have a couple hours?
No. Yeah, probably.
Well, very simple. The first question is how pornology in New York was born or created, or what I have the idea. It's very simple. We were in the 2000, yes. I could feel that New York was really dying in certain aspects of his underground life. And I keep realizing how many clubs and places have been closed, a lot in the sex industry, like Billy, Topless Billy on 6th Avenue, that was a big loss, or even before Diamond Lily, for the one who were around at the end of the 70s, was a great place where you could put a dollar in the pussy of a dancer, that's something unthinkable now, even for healthy reason or whatever it is. So so many clubs were closing that suddenly I felt the urge to record this a couple of clubs that I loved and a couple of situations I liked, just for the posterity. I mean, it doesn't maybe sounds a little presumptuous, but it's that certain things has to be preserved in the memory of the new generation. So one of these clubs is the infamous Hellfire, who has been for at least 10, 15 years, and in a different form. There was one called The Vault. I mean, the same people were running The Vault and Del Fire. Sometime they were, the two of them were both alive together in the same period. But anyhow, this was a club that basically, when it began, gathered to a very mixed crowd, and that was the secret of it, because they were gay, straight, fetish, transvestite, rich people, overstate people. It was a great combination, and... of course, until 84, 85, before the big crisis that killed a lot of things, it was a fantastic place where you could really actually have real sex and at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Another place that I really loved was more private. It was called the Fuck Factory, who was the home of my good friend Neville Chambers, who has a great past as road manager of Jimi Hendrix and The Who and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, all these people, and he knew the Beatles, but he was a great character who, when he came to New York, his place called the Fuck Factory Between Our Friends was a real experimental place. It was fantastic because every day something would happen having to do with sex, from films, party, session, anything. And so I found a good friend, a couple of good friends, who gave me the money to do it, so I decided to film as much as possible one day at the Fuck Factory and one night to create a party at the Hellfire like it was before, I mean, with no regulations, so it was a private party. Of course, in the meantime, I interviewed the two the two people that were running those places. I mean, Neville Chambers for the Fact Factory and Lenny Waller for the Hellfire, who is a great character. I mean, both of them. I mean, whatever. We are really great, great friends with all of these people. And so I recorded these two places, and I interviewed the two guys. While I was preparing this just a few days before, Paul Scherlin stopped by in town at Hellfire, and so I had an idea, listen, can we do an interview to you and shoot something in your dungeon, who was at that time called Den of Iniquity? And so I had a feeling, basically, it's three characters in the order of appearances in the film, in Neville Chambers, in Past Al Porno, and Lenny Waller in this section, the title is Safe Words, Do We Need Safe Words? And the third one is Paul Scherlin at the Den of Iniquity. And the title, I think, is I Don't Like the Dentist. So anyhow, it's always fun. So the movie is basically the story of these three places and these three characters. Since I shot the movie in the spring of 2001, the Fact Factory actually closed. The Hellfire actually closed. And then I had the first screening. Basically, the movie was screened for the first time in 2005. And at that time, the Den of Iniquity was still open, but in the next couple of years, also the Den of Iniquity closed. So basically, the movie is an act of love to a New York who is now not alive, at least in that sector, or definitely not in that way that he was, you used to go. There is a different way to enjoy those clubs or those places. Actually, those clubs or those places are not around. There are other different places, and especially now there is a lot of private party, and that kind of changed the scene from going to certain clubs that you knew that were around. Now you go to certain parties. It's a little different. It's more connected to the internet here, which we are living now. So that was the first question, the origin of the pornology in New York, correct?
Yes.
So the answer is enough so far?
So far. So what exactly is pornology?
Pornology, exactly. Well, pornology comes from Latin. It's a word that probably I invented myself in 2001. I was at a great place, in a university place. There was a bowling place that became Monday night starting at midnight, a totally different place with different kind of music, and it became a sort of after hours for celebrity. I used to see there Bianca Jagger, Mick Jagger, Andy Warhol, and the two guys who invented this. One is Alan Platt, the guy who wrote the article about me, and the other one is John Simon, who is watching us from Paradise. And that was a great place. And there I was smoking a joint with a friend of mine who was an art director. And there we invented a sort of calling card for myself. On one side my name, on the other side was all the things I've been doing, a sort of curriculum vitae of myself, in which there was the word pornologist. That is the first time that the word was used. So basically it comes from porné and logos. Now, let's back up for a minute. Pornography is another word from Greek. But it was not a Greek word, but the Greek, they have no idea what pornography is. They didn't call it that way. They had other, it was another culture. Pornography comes from porné, okay, that is street prostitution, and graphane, that means to write. So, and the first time that we know about this word is 1769, a French writer, Restif de la Breton, wrote a book, who was a sort of catalog, a sort of Zagat or whatever, but of the all the bordellos and all the prostitutes in Paris. And since then, the word pornography means everything that has to do with the explicit and graphic description of sex. So it can be painting, it can be drawing, it can be film, it can be anything. Logos that's the word I use for pornology, means word, so means to talk, to be an expert of. So, pornologist or pornology, the pornology is the science that talks about porné, and porné is everything has to do with the mercification of our body. And the pornologist is the one who is an expert on this, so who talks about sex from the inside. You are yourself a pornologist, even maybe you never thought of it, but you definitely are. And so, and basically for me, pornologist is somebody who kind of keeps the memory and of all these fantastic things that different moments of history have created, who has to do exactly with sex, pornography, and fun, and swingers, and transvestite, and fetish, and S&M. So that's what the word pornology means, and that's what the pornologists are. So Neville is a pornologist, Lenny Waller is a pornologist, and Porcelain is a pornologist. And I take the opportunity to thank them for being my friends, first of all, and be part of this movie.
You also had, when you did Naked New York and you first described it, you also added, you said the same thing, and you said you added, I am an expert in filth.
Yes, well, yes, that is correct, exactly. That actually is the expression that I use when I go to party or at dinner or whatever to make a short story. Now I feel I have a little more time, so probably our listener enjoys all the things that I said.
Yes.
Hopefully. But definitely the short version is an expert of this, correct.
That's a really great segment that we have to show. When you're going to be doing, actually, there's going to be an evening with Michele Kapinski.
Oh, of course,
Sexy
yes.
Spirits, Monday, October 12th. So if you're in the New York City area, you can come down. You can go to sexyspirits.com, and you can see that Michele is going to be here. He's going to be telling stories, showing clips from films, and we'll show the clip of Michele pounding on the doorway to the old Plato's Retreat. Let me in, let me in.
I want to have sex. Well, I like
you actually went to look for it. You went to look for the entrance to Plato's
that
Retreat.
That was the second Plato's. The first one was in the basement of the Ansoni Hotel, where originally there were some gay baths, and at least where they bath in the building, and then they moved to 34th Street. Now there is a garage, and that's the second one. And yes, we went to this trip to look at the old places, and there is this moment which on the door, you know, somebody with a knife, so we wrote Plato's. And so we can look at it, and there is a shot of this. It was fun. That period was great, I have to say. I'm sorry for the one that were not alive at the moment. But and thanks to God that we are here to tell what happened or whatever we remember about that period. And what is fun, you know what it is, and now with the 40th anniversary of Woodstock and all the things that we were doing, at least witnessing in 67, 68, 69, it's great to see that that there is a very good interest of that period, and there are a lot of books, film, documentary.
Yes.
And not only sex, but, you know, whatever it is. And it's wonderful. I like to say that in 1970, I went to the Isle of Wight, a big concert, and it has been one of my best experiences in my life. I was in London. I was 22 years old. I had long hair. I had finished all my academic study with Master in Law and Sociology, all that bullshit. But I was curious, a young man, and it was smoking pot like crazy, and I was there at the Isle of Wight, and I watched Jimi Hendrix a week before he died, and Donovan, John Bates, and many others. So I'm still around.
That's the whole thing. That's what counts. You're still here.
I know, and I can still talk and remember, but I don't know for how long. But anyhow, let's hope that... I'll be around a lot to tell all these stories. And definitely Monday will be fun because I will show clips of films. I will talk about my my little journey in the world that started in Italy as an assistant director and production manager of English-speaking production, including Diana Ross in Mahogany, including Brian De Palma in Obsession, including James Bond, The Spy Who Loved Me, in Sardinia. And so we probably tell a little of some funny story about that period.
Right, you now, started with you worked with on the James Bond film.
Yes, I was the assistant director of the action unit for the Italian shooting, and I tell you, it was really fun, well paid, great work, big production. I tell you, and I slept in all the fancy hotels of the Costa Smeralda, who at the time was beginning to be one of the most elegant and fancy place for the rich of the world. And so I slept at the Cala di Volpe, Al Corporto Cervo, Al Pitrizza, I don't know whatever they mean for our listener, but all these fancy hotels were still around. It was really fun. And especially to do all the tricky. So I probably show a clip of Spy Who Loved Me, and I will say the trick, how we shot it, what was the secret, what was the it's fun, it will be fun. So from there I'll talk about my entry in the porno industry as production manager of Girl's Best Friend, directed by Henri Pachard, who unfortunately left us a year ago. Great guy, great director, and that was my first movie. And
who were some of the big directors that you worked with or knew at that time?
Well, In the legit world, I said Brian De Palma, Lewis Gilbert for James Bond, and
but in the porno business.
In the porno business, my first working was Henri Pachard, and then I started more than working behind the scene. I was doing behind the scene story for an Italian magazine. So I kind of switched to my other hat, this reporting, journalistically speaking and writing. And then I became very good friend with Candida Royal, who I know was your host a week ago, very recently, and whom we have a fantastic friendship. We call each other brother and sister. Actually, remember that you made fun of me in the password. Good.
Oh, fuck. What is Mike feeling, man?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I talked to her an hour ago, and she mentioned that, so it was fun. Great, thank you. And so, one day, I mean, I've always been kind of in the background of creativity work. I mean, I don't want to get any claim here, but being a best friend and having dinner with, at the time, husband, Per Sjoste, that I say hi to him too here, and we still all have a great relationship and friendship. We were planning, projects and things like Revelation. We still consider the only porno film with a political agenda in it, and it was shot partially also in 35mm. We talked about the Star Director series that she did with all their best friend, the Group 90, Gloria Leonard, Jane Hamilton, Veronica Riva, and Annie Sprinkle. And then one day she needed an assistant director. We looked at each other and said, well, let's try to work together. But because we did not want to jeopardize a little bit any of our good friendship. We worked beautifully together, and since then I've been a kind of right hand. Executive produced at least 10 of his 11 movies that she did after the first bunch. So, and we always work together on the script, whether or not I get the credit, but she gave me some good credits. But basically, I love to work for her because we have a sort of a same mood on things, on people, on things. So it's been great, and she's the boss. The final decision is hers. So it's been a real pleasure to work with her, and unfortunately the budget now are so ridiculous that we cannot experiment again a film together. But I remember the Eyes of Desire 1 and 2, who was shot back-to-back in 8 days in L.A., and I remember One Size Fits All. That's very nice. That's very funny, too. We tried to do some comedy, and we achieved that. So that
you
was
made
my
some memorable cameo appearances in some of her films.
Oh yes, I always been there, and the last one was the one that what's the title? The one of the last Under the Cover, I guess.
Under the Cover, yes.
I played a slave, and I wiggled my ass in front of the camera while my friend Jamie Waxman beat my ass or whatever, and they had some funny underpants, yellow and blue, I don't know, something stupid. Then I am the pizza man in one film, and I am a journalist in the last film that really we did together, the one about the actors coming to New York.
Yes.
Tell me, my memory sometimes, what's the title of that?
With the director.
With the director comes to do the casting and with the main actress and the casting Candice will forgive me if I can remember now the title of that movie. But I play a journalist together with Neville Chamber. So yes, I did cameo appearances in any other movie. I was the first, only one of the first shot of Revelation that I love so much, whose soundtrack is fantastic. I just found the tape. Stud Hunting. Okay, bravo. Okay, good. So Stud Hunting, if you have the chance, is a very good movie, and there is this director comes to New York to do some casting with the main actress, and it's a very nice movie. And I play the journalist together with Neville Chambers. But I have to say that I always play also in a legit world some cameo, and there is a movie called Cop Killer with Harvey Keitel, directed by the Italian director Roberto Faenza, in which I just simply go to make a phone call in a phone booth in Central Park West, and who knows me recognize me immediately, even if I am kind of not really in the face. So I like to be an Hitchcock. You know that Hitchcock used to be always in his film. It was like a signature. So Candice always used me for that. The
you
pizza
also
man, I think,
photographer and in the movie about John Holmes.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah, then I collaborated here and there in different things. I interviewed Cicciolina for the documentary about John Holmes in Rome. I wander, and that's, I think, the best part that I like about my life. I wander from the legit straight world to the most underground, bizarre world. And luckily, I feel comfortable in both situations, and so I sort of thread between so many different worlds. And actually, if you allow me to talk more, I mean, I think that all the key of my life is when I was in Genova.
Yes.
At the university, my university was studying both law and social science, but anyhow, was bordering the port area, and as you may imagine, all the port area are really funky, are really sexy, are really seedy. And so instead of to be at the lessons to listen to all these very boring things about law, I was walking over the street and disappearing in the little alley. And so I became friends with prostitutes, gangsters, drug dealers, underground people. I mean, at that time there was a lot of southerners that were coming over. Now there is all this black African guy. But the best part of all that, my face was exactly the one of a nerd. I mean, I was at that time, was still virgin, I was definitely a nerd. I could not hide the fact that I was wearing clothing that for my upbringing, I mean, my sort of middle upper class upbringing, money, so whatever, my father was a lawyer, was okay. So, but the fact is that even with that stupid face, even with my overshaved face, I mean, I looked like I was 15 or 16, I never luckily had any problem, any violence or anything. I've been witness a lot of this stuff. So I sort of masterminded the way to explore the unknown in a way that has been very safe for me. So when years later, after living in London and in Rome, I came to New York. New York was a piece of cake for me after all this experience in the little alley of Genoa. And that's why immediately I went to Fetish Club. I became friend with Lenny Waller at Hellfire. And and I manage to go to Harlem, the Bronx, all these places, and always come back. That's good. Of course, I was lucky. But I have to say that the few times that my stomach felt something wrong, and that was my kind of flag, the red flag, I always said, well, let's get the fuck out. So I guess that I managed to get a sense of security around me, and I managed to escape whenever I felt was escape was the best things to do. Hello?
Oh, yeah. So it was managed to find the in and the out.
Yes, exactly. So it has been great, and well, sometimes I stop because I don't know if I can talk for 2 hours. I know.
No, you can talk for as long as you. Yeah, I'll tell you when.
No. Okay. Well, I guess I have still another 20 minutes or so, or whatever it is. But so that has been my since the beginning. I was an explorer. Since the beginning, the city has been my curiosity. So
yes.
I did, for example, a very interesting documentary with Simone Di Bagno, a friend of mine, another filmmaker, about the transvestite culture. But we are talking about archaeology here because 1982 was before voguing, before Madonna became, put the voguing on the ABC and NBC and whatever. And that's TV transvestite is a very great, different look at the world of the houses that they were very, very popular at that time in the underground world, especially uptown in Harlem and especially in the Puerto Rican and black culture. And that was a good film that didn't go too much of a big mistake because we used the music that was played on this event. Basically, it's a fashion show. And we shot all of it. It was very nice. But we made a big mistake because we did not change the music right away. We tried to buy the original music, and that was a lost battle. So when I see it, well, that too will be around. I just spoke with my partner, and we decided that we must have a screening of that too. So the two things that my name is associated as a producer, director, blah, blah, one is TV Transvestite and one is Pornology New York. And both of them are sort of photographed a moment in the life of this beautiful city that has become my home, actually. And so the transvestite world of the 80 and the fetish world of the 90 or 80, also that too. Because now the all these things happens, but in a totally different way. The internet is one of the things that most changed is changing our world, and it's great because I don't even mention sex for the change of the internet. How internet changed our way to communicate or to relate or to seduce. But think about a plane ticket. I don't know how many of you are used to travel to Europe, but now you can get one way ticket. You can get excellent things on the net. You can choose today to leave and find a ticket in 2 days at a very good price. All things unthinkable only a few years ago in the pre-internet world of tickets. So it's a stupid example, but it's probably the most clear of all. Internet has been changing a lot of things, luckily, because, you know, the good things are...
Oh, absolutely,
good.
Absolutely. But it's also changed the industry as well. As I was talking to Candida last week, it's the industry has always made very good use of technology, but now it seems that the technology is making use of the industry.
Sort of, yes.
It's very difficult now to raise money for productions because, you know, you can get everything for free now on the internet. You can just Google something, and like, for example, there was a DVD that I was thinking of buying, but I made a few searches and I was able to see the whole thing on the internet.
For free? Yes.
Yeah.
I know. That is a dramatically big change. Practically, the fact that people can get to this scene by himself and manage to jerk off in 5 minutes in one of those sites, obviously has changed the industry. The point is, this is, an interesting thing that I like to share with you and with our listeners. I made an example in one article that I write regularly for Italian magazine or whatever, that the music industry also changed a lot, as you well know, everybody knows.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that the music industry has discovered, one thing that where they make money. That means live concert. So the internet became a fantastic vehicle to promote the song, promote the music, promote events, and then sort of the stars, the singers, the groups have to be live in Milano, live in Miami, live in Singapore. And so they use the internet to promote all things, and then they charge good money for the concert, and people are willing to pay 30, 50, 60, 70, 100, even more bucks to go to see live or your favorite performer. If you use the same example in the world, in the business of pornography, that would mean that Rocco Siffredi and Jenna Jameson perform a lie in a theater. And I think it would be fantastic if we could do so. Mm. Obviously, we face a tremendous problem with public sex in a sort of a public venue which pays to see it. And I don't know how many countries or many regulations or how many people are ready to have this. Because if you think, yes, maybe in Germany, maybe in Thailand, maybe there are little places, city or countries which you can pay to see a sex act. But as far as I know, it's many years that in New York is not permitted. Definitely in private party or private situation. Luckily, still we can do it. But that would be great to have a sort of a circus in which you show live sex between famous porn stars. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I think that could be done. It could also be done, you know, as you know, it could be done live and broadcast over the internet, so no one has to go out anywhere.
I know, but a live thing in
right, a live, like
listen,
it used to
I
be like it played like at Show World, where they used to have the live shows.
Of course, I was there so many times. I met so many friends there, and Selena Steele, Tracy Adams, Amber Lynn, all of them. Actually, we met there, right? You remember more than I that we met there for the first time, correct
the
or
first
not?
Time. The first
now,
time.
Now, tell me, refresh me the story for me and our listeners, how we met.
The first time was at Show World.
Sharon Kane? No, okay.
Sharon Kane was the headline performer that week, I went there to see her show and to see her live. And at that time, you know, always after the show, you could get a Polaroid picture taken of you with the star. And then I saw you there, and I had just seen you were just had been on Midnight Blue. You were being cursed out by Al Goldstein.
Yes,
for
and he gave you Melissa Melandes on my boat. Yes,
the boat, the Triple X, and I thought that's Michele Capozzi, and we just started talking to each other, you know, and then Sharon came back to take Polaroids, and you know she looked right at me, and she's standing stark naked in front of me, and she says, "I know you." And I'm thinking, who, me? It's like, where could I possibly have met you outside of this, you know, this place? I said, I think if I had met you, I would remember. And she was very insistent. She says, no, I know you. And I think, where could that be? So, you know, we took the picture and we started talking. And I said, the first thing I said to her, are you still associated with the Church of the Living Venus? And she goes, how do you know about that? I said, I have an old tape of Midnight Blue, and there's a segment on the Venusian Church, and you were a part of that, you know. So that got her, you know, definitely got her attention. And then we started, you know, talking some more. I said, well, did you ever work on an R-rated film? And she said, 9 1/2 weeks. And I said, And I told her something that someone had told me about that film, which I don't want to say on the air. And she goes, how do you know this? How do you know this? And I said, oh, I used to go to this dance class, and one of the girls there, she worked on the film, and she told me all these stories, and she was in the sex club scene, and I said, and she was a punk rocker, too. And that's when she looks at me, and she says, that was me. I knew you from somewhere. And I said, holy shit. I said, you used to go to the Joy of Movement on Prince Street. She said, yeah. I said, we were in the same dance class together. I had no idea that it was Sharon Kane who was in the class with me. And we were talking. We were, you know, before class, after class, because I used to come in with this big bag. And she thought I was a musician. And I said, no, they're not guitars, they're swords. I was a fencer at the time.
I see.
And so that was how I got to, you know, we got reconnected with her. And that was also the first time I met you.
You see, that's we are connected. The famous 6 degree of separation practically did disappear in the today world.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I remember that you told me. Fantastic.
Yeah. It was.
And Sharon is a wonderful person, a wonderful human being. I met her on the set of Candida, where she was playing, I think, the punk rock actress. And we have been in touch on and off all this time, and she's doing great. And send her a big kiss, too.
Absolutely. I think she's also now doing more music.
Yes, absolutely.
Background
yes.
music.
Absolutely, yes, yes. And she's still living in Los Angeles, I believe.
And
yeah, I have got very many friends in this would say industry at large, but you know, everybody then goes to different way and goes to different paths. But I have to say that I've been lucky that I really connected with some great human beings.
And one a very good friend of yours, who's now a Facebook friend of mine, we exchange emails, is Jane Hamilton, who of course is better known as Veronica Hart.
Yes, of course. She's one of the five of the Club 90, and she was the star of my first movie, Girl's Best Friend.
Yes.
One of the stars. They were Ron Jeremy, Juliette Anderson, and Veronica Hart. And they are all T for jewelry, and Juliette Anderson and Ron Jeremy, their mother and son team, and Veronica Hart is another thief that at the end they get together, the three of them, because he fucks with Ron Jeremy, who is another great character. And he sort of, I'm the only one allowed to touch his cock in public. But, you know, it's a sort of a privilege. I bet he's a pretty straight guy. So, but I love the first scene when he was sucking his own cock. Now he can because that's a big punch. I'm sorry to say that.
He was quite famous for doing that. I remember when he did that in the film Inside Seika.
Yes.
And I was thinking, holy shit, look what he's doing.
I know. And he started two or three films before I met him on the set of Girl's Best Friend.
Yeah.
So we have a friendship that goes, that was 1980, yes.
Mama. He was actually a teacher at Queens College.
Correct, yes, absolutely.
Was,
he's a great
actor.
Guy. When he does interview, he comes up with a very, you know, great mind, articulate conversation, and yeah. Well, most of the people in this, especially the one who were made success, they are very articulate. I mean,
yes.
Candida is, Veronica Riva, Vanessa Del Rio also, then in a sense that he has less education than the other, but Vanessa has such an incredible, deep personality. You know, it's great. You know, it's, unfortunately, I know all of them and do a picture with them somewhere.
And someone who I've invited today to come to your evening at Sexy Spirits, I hope he comes, I hope he's listening, and I hope one day he does this show, is Jamie Gillis.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I will call him and tell him to come. And actually, we decided with Steve to go for the Columbus Day, because I'm born in Genoa, and Columbus Day is the day of the son of a bitch called Cristoforo Colombo, who we say that is born in Genoa, too. So it's a way to celebrate at 7:30, I guess, right? to celebrate Columbus Day with a real Genovese. And so that's a little catching extra thing about the evening. Yes, I hope Jamie comes, and he's a great character himself. I mean, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. And we used to encounter each other at 4 o'clock in the morning at the Hellfire or the Vault. And oh, what a great!
I was remember one time you had a screening of Pornology in New York at the Museum of Sex, and I'm you know, the audience watching. I see Jamie Gillis there, and later a few blocks away, you had a party for the film.
Yes.
And you came up to me and go, "My friend, my bartender is not here tonight. Please be my bartender. All you got to do is support the wine." I said, "Introduce me to Jamie Gillis, and I'll pour you, and I'll be your bartender."
Of
so
course.
There you are. You introduced me to Jamie Gillis, and you know, I spent the rest of the night, you know, filling up his glass and everybody else's. And he was such a cool guy, you know. He was just standing right in the corner, you know, and people would come up to him and genuflect, and you know, and you know, he's like the statesman of porn there. But he was very nice, and he would say to me, you know, how Constance Money got her name from the star of the opening of Misty Beethoven. I said, yeah, because she hated the name Constance, and she was constantly asking Radley Metzger for more money. So he named her Constance Money, and she got stuck with it.
Great story. Yeah, he has a great story. We had a dinner a month ago, because Fred Lincoln was in town from L.A., and so the two start talking and chit-chatting and remembering. You see, Pornology New York is in this place to remember those things, and each of these people is writing books or making films, doing documentaries.
Yeah.
And I wished for everybody of these friends, or not friends, but anyhow, everybody who has been so close to such incredible adventures and incredible explorations of life. I hope that all of them could paint, write, videotape, film some of these memories.
Because Jamie is in the film American Swing, which is about Plato's Retreat.
Yeah, excellent movie, actually. I liked it a lot, yes.
Well, you know what? Well, the thing that was the most shocking about that at the end, they show Fred Lincoln, and he goes, "You should interview Larry." And they go, "He's dead." And they go, "He's dead?"
Yes, I remember.
He didn't know.
Yes, excellent movie. Congratulations for the two directors. I really, really liked it.
Yes. Yeah.
I really liked it. Yes. Well, there's been around very nice, good other film and things. So. Not that these things are not said, or one thing that I always like to say, that pornography was great when it was at the beginning, because it was basically forbidden. They won't put you in jail right away, let's say, but it was against the rules. It was something that gives a sense of breaking some kind of law, some kind of general agenda on sex, and that's the pioneer years, and it's always been great to be in the full pioneer years. That's why I love so much New York, because when I arrived in this April 78, it was just beginning to have 5 or 6 years of fantastic adventures. In anything was happening in New York at the time, it was all interconnected, politics, sex, business.
Well, if I were to ask you to look into your crystal ball, what would you see?
Yes.
What do you see?
Well, I answer this way, because I think that 1984 is sort of the end of a great period, and because 25 years is possibly one generation or one, you know, if you count 1984 plus 25, it makes 2009. So I do believe that we are at the beginning of a new era in which probably freedom, experimentation will be again, and adventure, and so sex and free sex, gay sex, joyous sex could become again a part of our day-by-day life. So I'm very optimistic, actually, also because, you know, I'm 62, as I said, so in my last 20 years, they have to be lived in a world that is more open to new experimentation and new things. So in my crystal ball, I can see that that the world is again looking for real value, and I hope that the value of greed and money and ostentation may fade to value like creativeness, having fun, being open with your friends, and no more cheating. I mean, I'm optimistic. Maybe I'm bumbling now, but I guess that 2009 is going to be the first year of a new era. Not casually that your country voted a totally different president, whatever he may do or whatever he wants to do or whatever will happen, but at least it's a sign of changing in a good direction.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic. I want to be 19, 80 years old and go to the opening of the new Hellfire or things like that, or go to a theater and see the most famous porno star of the moment having a show and fuck in front of our face, like we were saying before. It would be not easy to organize in today's world, but in a few years' world, probably, yes.
Right, almost like what the Mitchell brothers used to do.
Yeah, oh, yes. Of course. Yeah, and then I was in San Francisco in that what can I tell you? I was. Yes, I was, because I'm old. I'm glad that I was there. But definitely there were different ways, the world was different. And now we have to use this extremely great potential that technology gives to us, the internet, the digital, I mean, all this stuff, to use it to really to give more freedom to people and more excitement and more experimentation. The word exploring, experiment are very important in my life. And as I said, I look forward to some good years of all of this experimentation and all of this exploration. The sex is very connected to the politics, as much as connected to food, as we well know. Sex and politics are very connected. A free society brings free sex. A free sex means a free society. There's no way that it's not acceptable, this opinion. I mean, and your country, America, and New York has been chosen to be my home. Are places in which often we remember that freedom is the most important of our things, and when you're free, you can create anything you want.
Yeah.
From whatever piece of art, a good recipe, a good bechamel sauce.
Which the Italians created first.
Yeah, not the French?
Yeah, with the Italians.
Oh, really? Oh, you read more than, you know more than me. Oh, good. That's good news. So the French stole it to us.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Well, as always, you are very, very complimentary.
Bechamel.
No, it's good. I mean, it's very simple. You have to use butter, flour, and hot milk, and then season it. But that's the order in which you put it in a pan, and you use your muscle to steer it. Steer it. A lot of steering.
Yeah.
Like a lot of massaging when you have sex. Same thing.
Yes.
Massage is important. All your body, you know, all your body is... as erogenous points, men and women, of course. Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you, my friend, so much for being with me here tonight.
It's been a great pleasure.
It's been a great pleasure of mine. Everybody, please go to michelecapozzi.org and also check out Michele when he comes, if you're here in New York City, Monday, October 12th at Sexy Spirits, sexyspirits.com. Thank you very much, Michele, for being here, for being my friend.
It's a pleasure for me. It's all you said, and I have only to say that an hour goes so fucking fast.
Absolutely.
We have things to talk for other five, at least, whatever. But anyway, it's fun to be. It's been fun to be here and fun to listen again. Thank you for the listening. Thank you, you too. And I'll see you soon. I mean, I see you even before the 12th to organize our little speech at Sexy Spirits.
Absolutely. Ciao, Bello.
Okay, thanks. Ciao, Bello, too. Ciao.
And thank you for listening tonight. This is Stephen Otero speaking. You're listening to Mondo Eros Live.
Thank you and good evening.